This morning I will be reading James chapter 5 verse 8. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh.
Good morning. Thankful for Jameson reading scripture for us this morning. It's a sad thing to hear about the news for Miss Ellinette. I just want to echo what Charles said. I didn't know Ellinette as well as a lot of you did, but I do know just hearing the way people talking about her, seeing her family, that she made a big impact on this church, and she'll be missed. Wonderful thing that we have so many good brothers and sisters in Christ that love us around and are with us. A good life makes a big impact. I want to begin this morning by just telling you all as well, on my side of things, how thankful I am for your prayers as we've been going through all this with Sarah. Your love, your support towards me and Sarah as she's gone through this third surgery, it's meant a lot. I'm thankful for all you guys have done for us. It's a good church that loves each other, and I'm thankful to be a part of it. So thank you. I'm happy and I'm excited this morning to be back in the pulpit talking about God's Word with all of you. Having this surgery behind us, seeing the way that God has been with our church. He's really helped us through this last year despite all the difficulties. Being able to baptize two new brothers in Christ just so recently with Kurt and Larry kind of fills me with some renewed zeal and hope for the future. I appreciate all your kind prayers. They just kind of filled me up with passion and excitement about what God is doing here at Clanton. And I believe that truly God is at work in this congregation. I'm excited to see where he takes us in 2021. We're going to finish this morning in the book of James. And this final section, I think, is a really powerful conclusion to what is a really powerful book. James, I've really enjoyed my time with it, preaching through it, because I've learned a lot about it. And I've really come to realize James has a message that is relevant and useful about any time, anywhere. It's got a lot of powerful things to say. And really, the book of James is about three important things we need to think about to live the Christian life. We need to be on guard first against desire. That's a central theme of James. As people, we want and we want and we want more. And we have to learn to be content with what we have, or we'll be like the rich man that James says perishes in his pursuits. We got to fight off that desire. James tells us the second thing to consider to help us in our battle against the fact that we just want more and more and more, and that, you know, if you just keep wanting more and more and more, it never stops. He says the tool we need to fight that is generosity. He focuses in on how God, if you look at him, he's very generous. He gives wisdom to those that ask, James says in chapter 1. He also gives every good gift. He's the father of good gifts. He gives us life and breath and his son. They all come down with him. James calls him the father of lights. And so if we want to fight off desire, that need to have more and more and more, we need to learn to be generous like God. True religion, James says, is found in the caring for the widows and the orphans. In other words, living a life focused on giving to and helping those in need. The opposite of the people seeking continually after more and more is a life like Jesus and a way to walk in his footsteps. Now, it's difficult to not be focused on things that you want. and about getting more of the things that you want, instead to be focused about others and their struggles and their difficulties. That's not easy. Which is why the third and perhaps the most important theme in the book of James is being steadfast. It's enduring. When we're trying to focus on the needs of others, to draw back from the things around us and think about the people around us, it's a difficult thing to do. So James tells us that we need to resist desire, we need to embrace generosity, and to do that, we're going to need to be a people who endure, who do not give up no matter what difficulty we encounter, who do not let Satan divide us from God and then conquer us. If you look at the Old Testament, this was always Israel's problem. They would encounter difficulty. You know, they might start off being pretty good. They might have been able to say, you know, we have enough. God's taking good care of us. They might have been generous and kind to one another. And then they hit a roadblock. And what happens? It's every man for himself. There was no king in Israel. Everybody did what was right in their own eyes. They encounter pain. And they would turn from God. They would fail and struggle. James says that when you encounter pain, when things work out differently than you thought that they would, be careful. Pain is natural. We all encounter it sometimes. And perhaps the most frustrating thing about pain is that when you hurt, when you're in a lot of pain, you don't really think the way you normally would. So James says, watch out for that. Be careful about that pain that you know you're going to encounter. Because the first thing you might want to do is run from God. That seems to be the human nature. When we encounter pain, we retreat from all the things around us. And James tells us, don't run from God, but embrace Him. Count it as joy, or as much as you can. This testing of your faith, even the pain that you deal with, is an opportunity for you to say, I'm going to grow closer to God. The pain that you experience is an opportunity to say, I'm thankful that even in this pain, God loves me. To say, okay, this hurts. I hate this. I know that the sin and the pain in this world come from the devil, though, and his evil influence. And so I declare here and now that this is not going to turn me away from God. It ain't going to work. It ain't going to do what Satan wants it to do. It's not going to rip me away from him. In fact, Satan, I will cling to him and he will help me to carry this burden. And then maybe stick your tongue out a little bit at it. Just, you know, don't give up. Sometimes for me, that's what I've got to do. I tell y'all on some of my greatest struggles, some of my greatest difficulties, I just had to kind of say it out loud. I'm not giving up on God. Satan, I know this is from you. Whatever awful thing that's happening, I'm not going to let it turn me away. And you can just go up there. Get thee behind me. It ain't going to work. Well, this morning we're going to be looking at James chapter 5, verses 7 through 11. And I think much of what James says in these passages fits these central themes of his book. This idea of endurance, of holding on to God in difficulty. James chapter 5, verses 7 through 11 say, be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Don't grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You've heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you've seen the purposes of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. James says, be patient. This is ending his book. He's given these final words. And remember that James is not written to a specific church. It's really written to the whole church. He's writing to Jewish Christians, but his words are for any people that are following God, that know the Old Testament. As he's ending this book, he gives some final instruction, and he begins that with, be patient. Be patient until the Lord returns. What a simple and extremely difficult thing to say. Be patient in times good or bad, struggle or triumph. Continue to hold on to hope and to wait. I love this image that James uses of a farmer. This is how the Christian is supposed to think about the Lord's return, about the end of their journey through this difficult life. Like a farmer waiting on crops to sprout, he knows that he will reap a great harvest, but that he doesn't, you know, he doesn't really have control over when that's going to happen. He's got to wait. He's got to wait for the early and late rains. He's got to work the field until that point. James says, establish your hearts. Fortify them against the struggles of this life. Because the Lord is coming. Either he'll come to meet you and all of us, or you'll go on ahead to meet him first. Don't grumble against each other while we wait on Jesus. As he said in chapter 4, the grumbling and the quarrels, it all comes from this desire that turns us against each other. Jealousy, covetousness, and selfishness, these things tempt us to attack each other. I want more. He has more. I don't like him very much. James says, don't listen to those feelings. Remember that God is with us. God is comforting. But it's also a reminder that God is the judge of all, and he sees us. So let's live as the best examples that we can of a Christ-like life. I think about the Christian life, about what it means to be a follower of God. I like what James says, remember the prophets. I think about men like Moses, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, and Elijah. These men were great men. They loved God. God loved them. Man, they didn't have it easy. They held so firmly, though, to God as they lived their blessed and troubled lives. They never gave up on him. We must look at their examples as we live through our own struggles. We've got to be steadfast like old Job. Why? Because the purpose of the Lord is at hand. Because he is compassionate and merciful. That's who God is. I think the last year has been a powerful reminder that even when you love God, life can be very difficult. James reminds us, though, that that should make us love him even more. Because he is the one that comforts us in these hard times. The compassionate and the merciful one. I read this passage and I just think to myself, man, Satan can send as many 2020s as he wants. God's people won't budge. That's what James is saying. As for me and for myself, I will still serve him. I thought a lot as I read this passage in James about Habakkuk. I love how the book of Habakkuk ends, the last few verses, starting in verse 17. It says, though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on the high places. Doesn't matter what happens. I won't turn away from him. That's what Habakkuk is saying. He's talking about steadfastness, about endurance right there. This is the powerful message of James. This is the kind of endurance that we need. It's the message of the whole Bible. There's no beating the people of God. If we're with God, that seed of faith that we plant, we're guaranteed that it will grow. And there will be a harvest. As long as we don't let the devil come in and snatch it away. That's what the parable of the sower is all about. It's the seed that endures, that continues to grow. That blooms. Now you might be saying, John, well, this is all hard. In fact, it's the hardest thing in the world. Life is hard, and you're right. If it were just me or you, we would not be able to endure the difficulties of this world and hold on to God. We wouldn't stand a chance against the devil without Jesus, without the help of God and His Spirit. So how do we keep the faith? How do we remain that steadfast person that even Moses struggled to be? How do we do this? I think James ends his book with a little bit of the answer to that. It begins with prayer. Lean on God and lean on each other and pray some more. That's the answer. In the darkest times of my life, I know that's proven true for me. I know that's proven true for countless Christians through the centuries. When we struggle and be finding a spot by yourself, turning to God in your tears and just crying out in honesty from your heart, I think that's the first step to holding on to Him and one of the most important steps. When you hurt, don't hide from God. I love what James says in the last few verses of his book. Starting in verse 13, he says, "Is anyone among you suffering?" Such good advice for every church, everywhere, all the time. "Is anyone among you suffering? Well, let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Well, let him praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, he'll be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it's working." I just want to say that one again. Let's remember that. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it's working. Prayer has power. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it didn't rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. "My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death, and he will cover a multitude of sins." Now this is how James ends his book. Are you suffering? Pray. Are you cheerful? Praise. Stay in contact with God. Keep close to Him. Get your fellow Christians to pray with you. The prayer of faith can make all the difference for those sick. Not just physically, but even for those sick spiritually. James tells us to pray to God and to call upon each other. To build community around that God, as Charles said this morning in his prayer before class. To open up about our sins and our struggles. Like Elijah and so many others have shown us, prayer works. It is calling upon the power of God. Pray together and pray for each other. Help each other as we struggle with sin so that we can beat it together. That's how James ends his letter. Reading this passage made me think about Jesus in Matthew 26, verses 36 through 46. I'm going to go ahead and say this is probably the darkest moment in Jesus' life. He's sitting in the garden. He knows he's about to be killed. So what does Jesus do? Well, Jesus does exactly what James says. He is suffering, so he prays. Starting in verse 36 of Matthew 26, it says, "Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, 'Sit here while I go over there and I pray.' Taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. He said to them, 'My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me.' And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, 'My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will.' And he came to the disciples and he found them sleeping. He said to Peter, 'Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter in temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.' Again, for the second time, he went and prayed, 'My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done.' And again, he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. And he came to the disciples and he said to them, 'Sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. What does Jesus do when he's going through the hardest moment of his life? He retreats to a quiet place with some people that he loves, and he calls out to God. He calls out to God for help, for comfort, for strength. He is struggling, carrying the burden of the whole fate of humanity and sin on his shoulders. He seems to be afraid. He prays between the Last Supper and the cross. Jesus takes his disciples to the garden. He prays, and it does not change his future. It does not somehow take this death on the cross away and keep that problem from being his problem. God doesn't take the cup. And you know, I kind of think Jesus would have known that going into this, but yet still, he prays. And you notice what happens when Jesus prays? He gets stronger. Jesus comes there and he's scared. He's struggling. He can't do this. You know, he says, if it's possible, take this from me. And just like the psalmist who begins so many of his prayers, afraid, scared, struggling, unsure how to keep going, Jesus ends with, but not my will, but your will be done. Jesus walks into the garden struggling, troubled in his heart, and leaves ready to face his fate. God gives him strength when he prays. He's still going to suffer a lot of pain. But this prayer, this feeling of closeness to God gives him the strength to go on, to do God's will, even when it's the hardest thing in the world. I hear what James says about praying when you're struggling. I see what Jesus did in the garden. And what I take away from these things is that whatever your struggle is, whatever your situation, prayer is part of the solution. It's going to help you in your struggle. It's going to give you the strength that you need. It probably isn't the only part of that solution. Jesus didn't just pray. He also wanted friends with him there to pray. We see here in James that a few different things happen along with these prayers, like gathering of fellow Christians and the confessing of sins and the growing closer together. I don't think prayer is the complete solution to every problem by itself. But brothers and sisters, I believe prayer is an essential part of solving any struggle, of surviving any difficulty as a Christian. It's a bedrock. It's the core thing. I thought about like my cell phone, you know, the battery on that thing dies. And how do I fix that? Well, the only way I can fix that is if I hook it up to something a lot more powerful than it is and charge it back up. That's what prayer is. My faith is falling apart. I need to connect with God. He's the one that can charge me back up, can give me that strength. As we end our time in James, I thought about one of the most beautiful prayers in the Bible, Psalm 23. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." You know, I don't know what all Jesus prayed on the night he was betrayed, but I wonder if he thought about Psalm 23. I think James in his book is trying to help us to be more like David in this passage, to feel at ease with God, calm even in the presence of pain and struggle, to be a durable people. Like a tree planted by the water, a people that will not be moved. To do this, we need to cling to God. He is our shepherd. And we need to pray, especially in our struggles, and talk honestly with Him. Hold on to God and pray. That's the best advice I could give anybody. And that's what James' parting advice to us is. It's a core part of living as a Christian. And when you hit a painful place this year, because I promise you, every one of us probably will, we're all going to hurt some in 2021. That's part of living. When you hit a painful place, when you're hurting, remember James. Remember Moses. Remember Elijah and so many other people in the Scriptures. And hold on to God. Don't forsake Him. Pray. He'll help you. This morning, I don't know what your struggle is. Maybe you're going through a lot of pain right now. Maybe you need prayer. Well, James says, if you're suffering, then pray. Call together the brethren. If you need prayer this morning, you're welcome to come forward and we will pray with you, I promise. If you're struggling as a Christian, you feel like you've got sin in your life and you just don't know what to do with it, come forward, talk to us about it. We'll pray with you. If you're not a Christian, I guarantee you need to be. It is a good life to walk with Jesus. If there's anything we can do for you this morning, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.
Turn with me to number 574. 574. We'll sing this and then be dismissed in prayer. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its word. It sounds like music in sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me.